Very good. Well, it's good to see each one in our meeting this evening. Before we read from the Word of God, we'll ask God's blessing on our meeting, and shall we pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we think about him. It is him, the one who we would like to exalt and proclaim this evening. And as we think about him, he's the only Savior of sinners, and there's no other way off that broad road but the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing we could do could ever earn our salvation. So pray for help beginning to end. And we just leave this meeting in thy hand from beginning to end. And ask thy blessing in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have three thoughts. Three things that we need to know from the Bible about the gospel. What is the gospel? And we're going to start in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse number 12. Romans 5 and verse number 12. If you have a Bible, you could follow along. And if you don't, that's fine. I will try to read so that you can understand. Or perhaps you can follow along with someone else beside you. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now let's look down to verse number 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Look, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's look over to chapter 6 and verse 23. One verse here, for the wages of sin is death. So you work here and you go to your job and you make money, you put in time and the boss or your employer gives you money in our terms. The wages of sin is death. So we get wages when we work, but this is the wages of sin. Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So back to Romans again, Romans 5 and verse number 6. This is a wonderful passage. These three verses, and I just love them. When you read them together, they fit so perfectly. Now try to read them just as I enjoy them. Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. That's us here. Toward us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's look back to chapter 20, Romans 3 and verse 22. And there's this expression at the last part of the verse I want to look at here. Here it is. Unto all, and upon all them that believe. And then it says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, one more in Acts chapter 20, please. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Paul, this is what Paul said to the elders of a church in Ephesus. That's in verse 17. But verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Three things. The first thing that I would like to bring out is the fact that before a holy God, before a righteous God, before a sinless God, before a God that cannot look on sin, it's against his very character to do sin. He cannot sin. We have sinned. And it's not just that we have sinned, but we are sinners. And as we are sinners, you know, we got a couple apple trees in our yard, right? Suppose now they have no apples. It's not big enough. However, suppose now these apple trees started bringing out the apples. The apples are the fruit of the root of the tree that's in our yard. And we cannot just, every time we see an apple, we just can't pick it and no longer think that there's a problem. If we got to get rid of the apple tree, we got to get rid of the root. You see, at our very root, our very core, our very ourself, we are sinners. We are sinners by nature. That's who we are, sinners by nature, and sinners by practice. We sin. If you have a cat, a cat's going to meow, and this cat's going to, you know, it's going to do everything that a cat does. And if you had a dog, a dog's going to bark and growl and play and, you know, and us as sinners, we are going to sin. And sin is not a good thing because we read the wages of sin is death. Death is something that is separation from God. It's really it's when your soul leaves your body. Let me ask you, when your soul leaves your body, where will you be? The Bible says there's only two places. There's a heaven and there's a hell. For those who are saved, for those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, for those who have realized, I am a sinner and I need to be saved and I deserve to go to hell. Those people who have trusted Christ for their soul salvation and God has saved them miraculously, those people, their destiny is heaven. For those people who are not saved, their destiny is hell. And ultimately, it's the lake of fire. So the first thing, again, is our ruin. The second thing I want to notice is the fact that God has provided a remedy for our problem, which is our sin. Our sin is our problem. It's the biggest problem. We will never get over it. Ourselves, we cannot cure our problem. We like to make it look good on the outside, you know. We act like we're good people, and we treat each other like we're good people, and we just don't think, you know, try to not think bad thoughts, and we make sure ourselves on the outside look good, and, you know, we put the good out in front, but in behind we're, you know, but we can't, nothing we do can cure that problem that we have. Nothing can cure our sin. But God knew this before he created the world. He knew our problem. He provided the remedy. He provided the remedy in his own son. And I want you to think about his son. The Lord Jesus Christ is a remedy for your and my problem. What did he do? What did God do? Well, if we were to look over here, if we were to look at that verse right there, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, and look it up in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy of everybody to accept it. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's another verse we read in 1 John 4 where the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There's no other Savior. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'll say that again. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Peter, in Acts 4, he was speaking to Jewish religious leaders. And he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. We have to be saved. We're not, before we're saved, we're lost. We're lost, guilty sinners before a holy God. And if we die as we are, as a lost sinner, we will be in hell forever. However, there was a rescue plan. God planned a way that his son would pay the price so we could go free. And God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus did on the cross when he died for you and me. When he was on the cross, what did we read in Isaiah 53? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Did he take your sin? Did he bear your punishment that you deserve? Or maybe you don't deserve punishment. You know, I always think of myself, I always thought of myself when I was young, before I was saved, and I still, but before I was saved, I would look down my nose at other people in my class. You know, I was only 7 years old, so, and I would not do what they would do, and I would not go with, that's horrible, that's sin. That's the pride of the heart. And I would say, I go to the gospel. I have a Bible. I know, but, oh, that's the worst. Pride will land people, good, upright people will go to hell because of pride. Don't make that. Don't allow anything to let that take you into hell. Don't let anything come before God's salvation. So God has made a way for us to be saved. If you look behind me on the chart, there is a door that's open. Oh, if we could show you how open that is. We can't really make how open that door is. That door is so open for you. That there's an invitation that is so welcome to you. The Lord Jesus says, listen. He says, any sinners on that Broadway? He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Don't come to anywhere else. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, it's nice to have peace. You know, we can go through lots of hard times as a Christian. And I guarantee you, there's people here that could tell stories probably right now of what they've gone through. if they wanted to. But you know what? When it comes down to it, they can lay their head on the pillow and regarding their own soul salvation, inner peace. Inner peace. Do you have peace with God? It only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sin. I have one more thing I want to bring out. And that is what we read in Acts 20, where Paul, he said, I have testified to both the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith, trust, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he only saves sinners, lost sinners, ungodly sinners, people that don't deserve to go to hell, head to heaven the way they are, people that deserve to go to hell. And so the responsibility comes back. God has finished the work at Calvary. He has finished. Christ has, when he died on the cross, before he died, he said, it is finished. Finished. Completed. And that the work was done, the work that saves you and I is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He died. He willingly died. He didn't lose his life. He gave his life. And we think of how that after 3 days, God raised him from the dead. What happened there? He raised him from the dead. Well, that was proof positive that God is satisfied with the work that he did on the cross of Calvary. He said, the sinner that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, why, they can have eternal life. So do you want to receive the gift of eternal life tonight? It is being offered to everybody, old, young, big and small, no matter what job you have, where you come from, it's offered to all. But there's a responsibility on the human part. And that's man's responsibility. And that's we have to respond to the message. And there will be a response to the message. Our response that's needed is to repent and believe the gospel. The two go like this, hand in hand. You can't separate them. It's the same thing. Once a person is a sinner, and they realize I'm going down to a lost eternity. And in fact, it's not just everybody's going, but I'm going. When that person realizes I'm going down to a lost eternity, you know, picture this. We were out in a boat yesterday. We were in this little fishing boat, and it was rocking like this sometimes, and other times it was nice and smooth. But imagine something happened and I fell overboard and all of a sudden I can swim at the bottom. And let's say I'm going up and down, right? Coming up and down, and I start, you know, and I come up for the third time and water comes in, you know, where it shouldn't go, and someone throws me a life raft. Does someone have to teach me how to grab a hold of that life raft? Not at all. That would be the first thing I'm looking for. I'm looking for something to grab on that's secure and strong and able to carry me out of this water. Oh, the Lord Jesus is like that. You put your trust in him. Don't worry about your trusting. Think about him because he's the only one that's able to save you. Your responsibility is to believe the message. We read that the gospel is unto all, and it is. Everyone's included. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is unto all, and it's upon all them that believe. Do you believe the message? Not what we teach. No, no. Take this Bible, search it for yourself, and look it up and say, is it really, really, really there? You can believe. Or you cannot choose to not believe the message. We trust as the meeting continues that you will understand the reason why Christ came. It wasn't just to do a whole bunch of good things and die for everybody else. My friend, if he didn't die for you, then you have no way to heaven. But if he died for you, if he pleased God, he can take you to heaven.